Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Love, and Wellness.
Together on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I so thank you for being with me and with us tonight. And so I am Sandy Rogers, and I'm your hostess for this segment. And I'm really excited. We have one super show scheduled for you tonight, and it will address a lot of issues for people that are just wanting to get the most out of life. So we will be getting to that very shortly. But in the meantime, you know, there's always some things that you need to do as you prepare people for people to come into your home. And so what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness, we first start off so that we're all on the same energetic level. And we start off by reading an affirmation for our just, you know, kind of settling in, so to speak. So today's message is called Contract. And what will you do today to add value to your life and to the lives of others? So write up your personal contract with the universe. And so here's mine. Today I will smile. This is my expression to the universe that I am joyous to be a part of the living process. I will smile to show others for them. I will smile on the outside, and my insides will be happy. Plentiful universe, I will seek ways to be a caregiver to the betterment of you. I will not litter your scenery, nor will I destroy it in any other way. I will respect you in all ways possible. This day I will rejoice with all who are happy and share with them their joy. This day I will share in other emotions that a person may be experiencing. Today I will share and interact with others as if we are the same, because I know that we are each the same. Today, I choose to honor our oneness. I choose to celebrate unity in community today. I thank God throughout the day. I thank God for the brilliance of the sun shining through the windows. I thank God for the rain that is cleansing away the pollution and worries. I thank God for giving me this day as another gift to share with all those around me. I promise myself to live by the words I have written of my own free will. I am solely responsible to myself to live out these words. I am accountable and trustworthy to me. I will fulfill the intent of my desires above. Signed, Sandy Rogers, this 10th day of October. So we are now all on the same wavelength, and as we expand, we our next step here on Life, Love, and Wellness is to enrich our circle. And so we call forth the energies of our ancestors. We invoke and we invite the spirits the presence, the energies of our ancestors to be with us tonight to guide us. We do this on a daily basis, but especially on Tuesday nights as we discuss topics that we don't normally give voice to. And so we want all of that wisdom from our ancestors to be with us. So ancestors, we love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. And we just give thanks for you. Ashe, ashe, ashe. So it's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Professional Transformation, and we have returning with us Taylor Teary. And I have co-titled this show is Get Your Mojo Working, because that's what Taylor is going to be working with us on, is coming out of our boxes and living life to a whole new level. And so she's going to be talking with us about our professional transformation. So Taylor, beyond means, she's worked with multiple Fortune 500 organizations as an executive managing multi-million and billion-dollar brands and in her own entrepreneur endeavors. So she's actually dealt with and transformed various stress-related illnesses and traumas, including a breast cancer diagnosis and a 20-year bout with depression and PTSD. So Taylor comes to us with such love and such openness and willingness to share tools that we can use. And so she has just a plethora of modalities and tools that she can choose from in order to help us on our path. So we will be bringing Taylor on momentarily. I just wanted to make sure that you know that you can call in at any point in the conversation tonight and be a part of our discussion. Our number here is 516-531-9819, and no comment is ever ridiculed in any kind of way or disregarded, because we believe everyone has a voice, and that voice has respect and dignity, and we honor it here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So we're going to take a short music break, and we're going to come back and share with Taylor and let her get us going, getting that mojo working, and doing what we need to do to live a higher, higher, higher life. And she is fully prepared to do that and to be our guide on this this journey that we're taking. So we'll be right back with Ms. Taylor Teary.
I got something that'll show the fit your stuff.
me that you like it, yeah.
Tell me something good.
Oh, tell me, baby, tell me that you love me, yeah.
Tell me something good.
Oh, tell me that you like it, yeah. Well, we had an oldies but goodie there. That was Chaka Khan and Rufus, and they sung Tell Me Something Good. And Taylor is going to be telling us something good tonight, so I'm excited she's in the house with us. And you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I sure appreciate you being with us tonight. And remember that you can always call in and talk live on air at 516-531-9819. You would simply press 1 on your dial to let me know you want to talk live on air. And it's open to whatever conversation, comment, question that you may have, because I know we're getting ready to get into a heavy, heavy subject.
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
I wanted to share this information with you. I was reminded of this vaccination requirements of newborns this past weekend. And so it was interesting for me to receive this news information today. So it says the whooping cough reemergence traced back to vaccine failure and flawed assumption. More than 94% of kindergarten children have had 4 to 5 pertussis containing vaccines, yet despite high vaccine coverage since the late 1960s show that reported cases of whooping cough have been rising for decades. A recent scientific review has concluded the less toxic cellular whooping cough vaccine licensed in the U.S. For infants in 1996 does not work as expected and confirms the continued spread of the disease among vaccinated populations. For nearly 2 decades, scientists have published evidence showing the ineffectiveness of both wholesale pertussis vaccine and DPT and a cellular pertussis vaccine and DTaP/Tdap. The B. pertussis organism began evolving to evade wholesale pertussis vaccines in the 1950s, soon after DPT was introduced and became widely used in the late 1940s. Here we go, you guys. Cocooning. That's where Tdap is given to household contacts of a newborn to prevent whooping cough in the infant has proven grossly ineffective, and this further supports the finding that whooping cough vaccines fail to block transmission of disease. Thought I'd share that with you. I know we've had several shows on vaccines, but that one really kind of hit close to home because, like I said, I do have someone that I'm really close to that asked me to get vaccinated before I saw the baby. And needless to say, I didn't see the baby. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So a lot of times, you know, we know what we know, and we often wait for the written documentation to prove that what we feel is right is right. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're talking about professional transformation, and our esteemed guest tonight is Taylor Teary, and we're also calling this show Get Your Mojo Working. And so Taylor has spent so many years and so many hours perfecting what she does, and she's worked with large budgets and large organizations, including her own. And so she comes to share what she's learned and how she can help us to expand in what we're doing, thinking outside of the box, and to be able to help us to get to that place where we say we want to be. And I wanted to just introduce her a little bit from a personal experience that I've had, and then I'm going to just turn it over to Taylor and let her take over. So I went to a women's conference about 4 or 5 years ago at Spelman College, and it was around women's health. So I was impressed with the speakers. They had some dynamic speakers. And eventually I made an appointment with one of the presenters from that women's conference, and she was a hypnotherapist. I had never heard of that before. I wasn't quite sure, you know, what it entailed, but I wanted to go and experience what she had because it sounded very interesting. And as my family says about me, I'll try anything. So it was such an incredible experience. But had I not been curious and wanted to know what this modality was, how it could help me, I would not have ever been made aware of some of the traumas that I had hidden and thought that I had cleverly disguised them into my psychic or in my body. But the hypnotherapist was able to bring them to light. And so I want to make sure that I share that with you because that's one of the modalities that Taylor uses in her reservoir of skills that she has when she works with people. So, Taylor, I just wanted to give you that little bit there because that was such an incredible experience for me. And, you know, I tried to share that with as many people as possible because it will awaken things in you that you're not even aware you're dealing with or you're carrying around with you, but it can block you in reaching your goals in life. So welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us tonight, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can very well.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, I'd like to just thank you for this opportunity this evening and thank everyone who is listening to the show. I feel that it is an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to God's people. So so I just really thank you for that. And since you jumped in quickly with the hypnotherapy, I'm gonna step back for just a second because I was really nervous, as I conveyed to you earlier, about talking about the hypnotherapy because my parents don't even know about that skill set.
I hope they're not listening, though.
They may be. Well, one of my siblings may be.
I'll just keep them.
The cat is out of the bag. Okay, so one of the reasons why, and I put on Facebook that I'll be letting go of a secret. So it's fine. I'm okay with it, right? I'm good. It is, and one of the things that I did, one of the things I learned is that, you know, I don't know if you know, but when you have the reason why they created long sleeves, you know, a long time ago when they were making men's suits, one of the reasons is because when men were speaking, you know, they put their hands out as if they're giving you something, right? So when that goes across your pulse point, it actually makes you feel more calm. So it relieves some of your nervousness. And if we have bracelets, you know, if we wear bracelets, that kind of accomplishes the same thing. So so I needed to do something that would help me be calm, more calm, as I approach this particular issue because I wanted to be able to discuss it in a way that would make people feel very welcomed by it instead of put off by it. Because a lot of times when we don't understand something, then we're, you know, it becomes this stigma. You know, I even talked to a woman the other day, and she was communicating that she didn't really understand it. And so it made her feel a certain type of way because she herself is, you know, practices the Christian faith. I very much believe in God, and every day I speak to him, talk to him all throughout the day. And you know, as I said before, my father's a minister, my brother's a minister, you know, now my mother's even a minister, so it's everywhere. And,
oh, okay.
Right. right. And so I want to allay those fears, because it's not about taking someone out of a belief system. It's actually about helping people get more in tune with whatever their beliefs are, because it opens up the subconscious mind. So we all know that there's a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere. And, you know, we talk about the left part of our brain and those things, that those left brain abilities such as logical reasoning, keeping time, those things were for survival in the modern era, right? And then the right brain is a bit more primitive, and it ties directly to the deeper brain, and it what it posits is active imagination as kind of a doorway to the unconscious. So that's what it is. And so on one hand, you know, on the left side of the brain, I have the, you know, the masters and, you know, in marketing and the Lean Six Sigma and the project management. And then on the other side, on the right brain, I have the mastery of the mind things, which, you know, hypnotherapy falls under, NLP falls under that, you know, some other modalities fall under that. And all of them have been developed or honed in order to help people achieve their best results. So I wanted to give a little bit of context to the conversation that you were having earlier, because if you think about it, it's about vivid imagination. It's about a trance. It's as simple as when we're driving somewhere and we're used to going to that particular place. Maybe it's to work. And on this particular day, instead of going to work on Friday, maybe we're going to a doctor's appointment. But we find ourselves driving to work as if we were going to work, because we're in a trance. So really, we're kind of leveraging the unconscious, and that's simply being in somewhat of a trance, which is a form of hypnosis, basically, and it's self-hypnosis, and all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So there's a fallacy when one thinks that, oh, someone is going to hypnotize me and I'll be acting crazy, or I'll do something outside of my character. It's like, you know, drinking alcohol. I believe that when you drink alcohol, you probably just do a little bit more of what you would normally do, you know, but you're not going to go out and do something that's so crazy or so abnormal just because you drink some alcohol. Some people may use that as an excuse, but that's not really what happens. So
you're telling secrets.
I just wanted to be clear about that, because it's like if you imagine, like if everyone just takes a moment and imagine biting into a sour, juicy lemon, when you do that, your salivary glands, they're activated, and it, you know, and it receives those impulses generated by that image in the right hemisphere. So, and it's not the same as if someone just repeated lemon, but I know there's certain foods that I really, really, really like. And when I start to either open that package or I'm washing it off, literally I'll start salivating, you know, because my mind is thinking, oh, I can't wait, you know, to enjoy this thing, whatever
right,
that thing
right.
is. You see? So, so I wanted to, you know, just provide a little bit of context to that. And then NLP, as we've discussed before, it involves a wide range of techniques that help you rewire your brain. So it helps you replace any attitudes that hold you back with positive thought patterns. And those thought patterns help you become more effective, more confident, more successful in every way, getting rid of limiting beliefs, limiting decisions, those things. Just imagine, Erica Badu had that song about Bag Lady. Imagine getting rid of all of those bags, the bags of shame, guilt, fear, anger, sadness, whatever it is, just being able to walk out, just walking into a place with those bags and then leaving those bags behind. For me, it's like really a load off, you know, that's how I feel about it. So, so I really wanted to say that and talk about it, you know?
Yeah, and the reason why I got right into it was that I know that you have a lot to say around this subject, and I just wanted to get everybody prepared Okay. Because it's not going to be one of those typical conversations with somebody about professional transformation, because the work that you do is all outside of the box. You know, that imaginary box is what I call it, that keeps us limited to whatever we've been conditioned with, somebody else's ideas of what we should be or what we've accepted that our limitations are. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew, you know, we were getting ready to get this thing crunked up. So thank you for explaining that and breaking it down for us, Taylor. So I'm going to – and let me just ask you one question as you get into your discussion here. So you talk about the bag lady and releasing the bags, and I kind of see it as blockages that we create for ourselves that gives us this little fairy tale that tells us that it's okay that we don't make this goal and we don't make that goal, and because then it supports our fear of success or our fear of failure. And so when we can get beyond that, then that, I believe, is like the true beauty of the work that you do, because that's where you get to take us to that land of opportunity, correct?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, we are a world of, you know, we're either concerned with gratification, often instant, or we're concerned with loss. That would be fear. So we're either motivated by one or the other often, right? And so, so, you know, like even for me, I know a lot of stuff, right? Like I know a lot of stuff. And the whole thing was to make sure that I convey to people some of those things to help them heal, grow, shift, transform, whatever it is. And I found that I myself was something that I like to call a shy extrovert. You know, I coined that term because I love people. I love connecting people. I love to love. I love people. And part of the time I would stop myself from doing something because of some type of perception that I had that other people would have about me, right? So, you know, I needed to really kind of get present to that. So I want to stop and read something for a moment because it really kind of encapsulates part of how I feel. And so this is a person that I admire, so I'd like to read a statement that he made. All it takes to make a difference is the courage to stop proving I was right in being unable to make a difference, to stop assigning cause for my inability to the circumstances outside of myself, and to be willing to have been that way, and to see that the fear of being a failure is a lot less important than the unique opportunity I have to make a difference. So this is all for me, and that's from Warner Earhart. And for me, this is about making a difference, because when I communicated last we talked, I said that my whole goal was to eliminate suffering. And so these tools help to eliminate suffering. So the whole thing is to help people expand their mindset so that they can get to their best life, their best business, their best health, their best relationships, you know, just to help people feel better, work better, perform better. And all of these things are tools that I have in my arsenal to help people do that. Because as I communicated, there was a time when I was working in corporate, and that particular company got bought out because, unbeknownst to me, when I started for the company, they were $50 million behind in sales, in plans versus their plan. And I was like, wow, people refuse to change. You know, I said, okay, these are the things that we need to do to right this ship. And there was refusal. There was a big refusal to do that. And so I just became like inspired by people taking inspired action to get out of a situation or to create a new situation. And so that's kind of what plunged me deeply into the mind mastery work. So, you know, so what I'm going to talk about today are some ways to get to a some tools that I actually use, some specific tools that I use to create a multi-million dollar business. And so I have 10 steps to that, and I'm weaving into it the mind mastery things so people actually get the linkage to it. Because some people may wonder, well, why mind mastery and marketing, or why mind mastery and business development? Because how you do anything is how you do everything. And so when you're able to actually have control over your mind, or have some tools that you can use to help you achieve your best results, then that works on the front end and that works on the back end. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Damn,
all right. So, pardon?
No, I just said yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Great. So one of the and then so I'll go through those steps first, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about how hypnosis can be used, how NLP is used, how some other tools are used, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing, you know, and actually, this is really, really great information that that I am using for some other tools. So it's really great if people want to capture it and or remember it, whatever they want to do. But the first thing is to because in a particular situation, I had like a $200,000 investment and turned into a $33 million business in 18 months. And in order to do that, I had to first be a champion, right? So there's a model that says that we can, you know, that we can do something, we can have something, and then we can be something. For example, you can go to school, you can get a great education or have a great education, and then you can be generous or philanthropic, right? Well, what if we shifted that model to being generous? What if we shifted that model to next, you know, doing what you do when you're generous? And then what do you end up having as a result of that particular model? So it's a shift. It's a paradigm shift from one to another. And so I became a champion of a particular idea that I had developed, that I wanted to reach out to this particular audience, and I wanted to create this particular product. And I did. And the role of a leader is not to come up with all the great ideas, is to create an environment in which great ideas can happen. So how I was being at that time was being open, was being generous, was being, you know, being a leader, right? And that came to me as a result of being the eldest child, like part of it, protecting my sister, you know, so, and all that's a part of being your brand, right? So when you're choosing someone to champion mm-hmm. something, you generally choose someone who has a, you know, who's a little bit strong-willed, who has a strong mind and can handle certain things. And then part of that is how you're even treating your temple. So we talked about that last week when we covered the seven ways that you can create healthier meals. And so part of that treating your temple is, you know, what you're eating. What if, are you consuming colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, environmental chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. So how are you living that way? And then number two, determine your market potential. This is where I've judged some competitions, some business plan competitions, and a lot of times people leave out this step. So you look at the universe. You start at the top. The top consultants look at the universe to determine what percentage of the population is part of the intended audience. Then you niche down or you chunk back up. So you just look at that percentage of people who you want to target, and then you go from there. And then that comprises the opportunity. And you really want to do that back of envelope work so that you even determine if the business is viable or feasible before you go into it. Then number three, you want to look at the trends. You want to look and see how they're tracking. So, you know, there's a brand that you're planning on building, Sandy. And one of the things we talked about was the market potential. And one of the things we talked about were the trends and where the trends were going. So you want to stay ahead of those trends, whether they be political, environmental, cultural. You know, you look at where the market was going. And this is a while back, but everyone can relate to this. generally would be like Blockbuster. You know, Blockbuster saw the writing on the wall. They saw that they saw the potential was going to digital things, but they moved so slowly. So you can't be a behemoth or move like an elephant. You've got to be able to be nimble. So you've got to be able to take advantage of the trends that are out there, wherever the market is going, and set your business up that way. And that was one of the things that you and I talked about. So so I want people to be able to really know that. And based on how you're being, really, if you're being a certain way, you're not being inside your ego. You're not being, and that takes some work, you know, over and over and over again to not be inside your ego or to not be resistant to change. Then you can look at the trends, see how they're tracking, and stay ahead of them. Then you want to research. You want to do a lot of research so you can understand the consumers. What are their unmet needs? What do they need from a product or service from a functionality viewpoint or from a benefit viewpoint? What connects them emotionally? You know, you really want to get into the mindset of those consumers. So when you're building that new brand and who you're always being generous. You're always being out there with people. And so I see that from you. And so your brand is going to be an outgrowth of that because you're the champion of that. So you want to get what connects people emotionally. Then you want to understand what their demographics are. And then eventually you'll even get to their psychographics. And that's how people create something called avatars. And the avatars are what people actually represent in the world, what their buying habits are, what they do on the weekends, what they do with their families, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And research goes on throughout the process. I was able to be trained by some folks from P&G to build brands, and it was really, really great training because it, as you know, P&G was developed based on researching the consumer and getting directly to that consumer. That's one of the reasons why they're so successful. They understand their consumers inside and out, and they're able to build large, sustainable brands based on getting as close to the customer as possible. So you got to test and you got to reevaluate your results based on consumer feedback, launching your program, et cetera. And then you pull together a team, kind of like, you know, we were talking, and you have a team that's like-minded and desirous of working towards a cause. And so that's one of the things that we were talking about, or even within the context of understanding NLP or hypnosis or whatever, any of those tools, it's not like they have to practice those things every day, but people who are into personal growth and development are generally more open to things, and they can use those things to help them get to the next level. So you want to, when you're pulling together that team, as you are for those other initiatives that you're doing, you got to realize, they have to realize that they're working towards something, and it's the momentum is being driven by the leader, you, and you're the champion, and you're propelling them along to achieve their results. So you are a clearing for them to do their best work. Like even on your radio show, you're a clearing for people to actually be able to communicate something that is going to be so helpful to your audience that they're able to take it away and they really are providing value. So you're that clearing for that, and that's how one has to be whenever they're thinking about building their brand. And so sometimes it were you about to ask something? Oh, sorry.
No.
Okay, I got a little background noise. Okay, so if you create a space for people to perform at their highest level, then they'll often strive to get there. However, people can only see two levels up, so you got to give them the space to be where they are. And that's why we use tools like NLP, like hypnosis, because those tools help people progress to other levels more quickly. One of my favorite books is Power versus Force by David Hawkins. It's an amazing book, and you may be familiar with it. It helps people get to different levels, based on doing certain work. And as you go up in that spirit of consciousness, then it gives you a greater space to be at a different level, and then you take in more. It's like, you know, sometimes when you're reading a book and you don't grasp any of it, and then you come back a year or two later and you read that book again, and suddenly, you know, 80% of that book is available to you. And then you come back later on and 100% of that book is available to you. So that's kind of how that you know, that consciousness grows that way. And sometimes it takes a bit of patience, but when we're less detached, we can often achieve more of that harmony. Then you want to develop, number seven, is developing your strategic and marketing plan. So you're getting to the fastest path to cash. You're developing your objectives, which are, you know, smart. And, you know, during another time, because I want people to be able to take advantage of these things, take advantage of any offerings that I have by going to a private Facebook. So I'll tell you about that later, private Facebook group. But you really want to develop your objectives. Like, we're going to work on for your new initiative, we're going to work on your objectives, and you're going to know how specific they are, how measurable they are, how action-oriented, relevant, how time-bound they are. And then we'll work on your strategies and your tactics. We're going to make sure they align for your individual target audiences. If you have multiple target audiences, then we're going to cover your positioning, your pricing, your product, your place, everything. You know, a lot of people leave out positioning. They don't really understand what that is, but it's very critical that you understand how your product or service is positioned in the marketplace. Everyone says, well, I have no competition. That is not true. Everyone has competition, and often it's a lot of competition. And then number eight, if you have a new business and your systems aren't up yet, or if you want to refine the process, you may want to set up what I call your key issues meeting with your team. It's a business review, and it helps you determine what the short and long-term profit potential of your business, your product, or service is over a long-range plan. And generally, that time period is 3 to 5 years. So when you set these things up, you really, really, really know what you're measuring against. This is part of keeping or maintaining your mojo, because when you have an initiative that you want to pursue, whether that initiative is personal or whether it's more corporate in nature, you want to be able to measure it and track against things. So you want to set your infrastructure up, which is number nine, properly to accommodate growth. So, you know, for your initiative that you have, you want to make sure your business is going to be as lean as possible. So this is where you want to take out all the smelly, all the extra. You want to identify any products and processes that need improvement, how to use a proactive approach to either improve or redesign them. You want to boost performance, reduce costs, increase customer satisfaction. And then lastly, you want to link your strategic plan to your operating plan and your financials, and you want to track your key performance indicators on a weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis. And this is where a lot of people fall short as well. And if you don't track these things, you don't know what you're going to do. We've always said in business, what gets measured gets done. So if you link the strategic plan to your operating plan and the financials, it really works to incentivize the team to accomplish those goals. And then if your team's incentives are tied to it as well, then they're more likely to want to accomplish it too. But it also keeps the team, you know, up together, understanding different things and what they're going to do. So, you know, there are other things that are involved in this, like creating strategic alliances and other products and services that are in alignment with your brand, which is what a strategic alliance is, doing some public relations, whatever, social media, all of those things are just a part of the plan. But I wanted to really, really go over this and really talk about getting your mojo working, living life to a whole new level, because you know, our wealth is very, very, very important. And so when you're considering building your business or you're considering starting a business, you've got to think about everything that's involved in it. And I encourage people to read a book called The E-Myth, which talks about working on your business instead of in your business, because a lot of us spend a lot of time immersing ourselves so deep down into the nuts and bolts that it's hard for us to come up a few levels so that we can get the work done. And then we're so attached to being in control of everything that other stuff starts to fall out. So that's where we've got to see how we're being championed. That's where we've got to be able to have some relaxation, some stress management. That's where we've got to implant some positive suggestions so that we know how to have self-regulate. That's where we release emotional blocks, because if you are building a business or you're an executive in a business, you really want to eliminate those limiting decisions and beliefs like money doesn't grow on trees or it takes a long time to make money or, you know, whatever those things are, we can eliminate those things through NLP, through hypnosis. You want to complete any nurturing processes. This is very, very important when you're building a team because someone may stand up there and make a presentation and you just instantaneously have a dislike towards that person. You know, they remind you maybe of an aunt that you just really didn't care for, you know, or someone else. So we've got to complete those nurturing processes within ourselves so that when we see that person, we don't create suffering for ourselves or anyone else. And then we want to be able to get in contact with our inner guidance. That's just really, really, really important, whatever we're doing. So we're always checking in. We're always checking in. That's our, you know, that's our why, really. You know, why are we doing this, you know? And then we're contacting the autonomic nervous system or the immune system to reduce or eliminating pain because when you're in pain, it's hard for you to work, and it's definitely hard for you to work at the level at which you want to or be able to contribute how you need to. You and I both know that. And controlling the bodily processes and healing injury and illness. And then changing our habits and conquering any addictions. Because you and I both know, as do others, that habit patterns are stored in the subconscious mind. So if we have habits that keep us from being able to perform our best work or being able to get our best results, then we've got to step back and do some of the inner work that helps us understand, okay, this is why I have a habit to do this or why I have it to do that or why I have a habit to do this. And then when we're actually able to, you know, and I don't really like to use the word conquer because it seems like we're fighting against, but to deal with those addictions, then we, you know, we can come out on the other end. And that really, really helps our mojo because we're operating at our highest level, our highest, you know, our highest self. So that's some
okay.
of the, that's
so
some
I
want
to take you,
I wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to take you back a couple of steps.
Okay.
Because I want a little bit more clarification. When you said people can only see two steps ahead of them, can you
mm-hmm.
break that down a little bit more? What were you talking
yes.
about? You were talking about a like building a like-minded team, but you said that most people can only see two steps ahead. So can you
right.
give us a little bit more definition around that, please?
Sure, sure, sure. So I'm talking about basically on a continuum of consciousness, moving up to different levels or different stages, whether you have a shorter stage where you're going from 0 to 7 or whether you, you know, whether you're going from 0 to 1,000, as in the book that I've mentioned to you before. So when we're at a certain level, say we're at a level where we are, we're dealing with a lot of shame. And shame is going on over and over and over, and it's a reoccurring theme in our life. And we're inside that victim triangle where we're a victim, a persecutor, a rescuer, over and over and over and over and over again. That's what we, you know, a lot of times that's what we do. I actually had a diagram up of that in my home for 2 years, so that I made sure that if I had a conversation with Sandy, if I had a conversation with Lisa, if I had a conversation with Albert, with anyone, then I knew, am I being a victim in this conversation? Am I being a, you know, a persecutor? Am I being a rescuer? Because I'm vibrating at this shame level. And so when you're vibrating at that level, you can only see two levels up. The two levels up from that would be apathy. Okay. And so you want to, so it's like this, you know, a lot of people or some people, when they win the lottery and it within a few years, they have lost all that money, no matter how much money they made. Do you notice that?
Right. Yes.
It's because they go back down to the level that they were vibrating before. So they're just because they win a lot of money doesn't mean that their philosophies changed. As a matter of fact, in most instances, they don't,
Because unless you have some type of outside influence, or unless you come to your own realization where, oh my gosh, I just won $300 million or whatever the money is, and I need to do some personal personal growth and development, then it's hard for you to just start doing things that people who have that type of money generally would do. So you resort back to old behaviors that keep you kind of locked or mired into past experiences. So you go back down to shame. And then if you notice that, you know, that saying, birds of a feather flock together, generally when you have people who are like, you know, like say you're in a group, and in that group people demean each other, frankly. They talk about each other all the time. You know, it's just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, right? Well, you know, it's a lot of people in that group, they're vibrating at that certain level. Then sometimes, you know, you come in and you start saying, oh, I've been doing all this work. It doesn't feel right to me to talk about people in a derogatory manner. And so you try to break away. Well, sometimes you just get pulled back down to it because you're used to that type of conversation. You feel comfortable with that kind of conversation, and so you go back down to that level. Or people around you, you feel like they don't understand you. So in order for you to feel more comfortable and make them happy, you go back down to that level. So that's what I mean when you can only see two levels up. You can only see you're not going to jump to the level of Mother Teresa by, you know, just going out here and starting to do things that you may do some things that Mother Teresa does, but you may not do all the things that she does, because she's vibrating at a certain level of peace and enlightenment and things of that nature. So it takes some time and some work to actually work on yourself so that you start moving up that scale of consciousness. Do you get it?
Not that. Yeah, that's a perfect definition. So we're going to take a quick break, and listeners, get your questions ready, your comments ready for Taylor, and so that when we come back, you can ask whatever it is that's on your mind. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we shall return momentarily.
was an abrupt ending there. I apologize for that. Thank you for being with us tonight. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And that music that we just heard was called Respect Yourself, and that was by the Staple Singers. And I thought that that was quite appropriate for what we've been talking about so far in building your business, creating your business, and the steps that Taylor has talked to us about. And so we have learned some new, maybe new terminologies that Taylor has given us, some new ideas certainly about how to go about putting your business together. And just a different mindset from what we have been taught perhaps in school or through other situations. And so it's very important that we really get a grip on this process because Taylor has worked with multimillion-dollar and billion-dollar businesses in the past, and she's helped them with their marketing and getting their life in order. So I'm going to just kind of quickly go through the steps that Taylor talked to us about, and then I'll let her to continue to further explain. Or if you have a question, make sure that you hit the number 1 on your phone, on your dial, so that I'll know you want to talk live on air with us. All comments, all questions, all suggestions, whatever you have is always welcome. We don't have any big egos around here. So there's never a stupid question. Only the question that you don't ask is ever stupid around here. So then in the mind mastery that Taylor talked about in creating your ideal business, or to make it as successful and profitable as possible. In the mind mastery, there were 10 steps. And so you want to be a champion of your idea or your product. You want to be generous with people. You want to, as the leader, you want to create an environment which supports the people that are working with you, to give them a workplace that that has a ground floor under them, a foundation under them, so that they know that they can really expand in what they're doing. And then you want to make sure that you know who your audience is, who you're targeting, and you want to make sure that what your product or service is, that it's feasible for that target market that you're looking at. And then Taylor talked to us about trends and how Blockbuster had an incredible idea, but that their movement was not appropriate for what it was that they were doing. And so they moved too slow and they kind of got left behind. So you want to make sure that your pace is steady and will get you to that success place. And doing the research, you must make sure that you do research so you know what you got, what's missing, how your product can come in, your service can come in and fill the gaps. You want to make sure that you pull together a like-minded team so that people are working together and strengthening each other and pushing each other up. You want to make sure you have strategic and marketing plans and that you're clear on your objectives and your positioning. And in new business, you want to make sure that you know what your measurements are. And then you want to also check on your infrastructure, keeping your business lean, you know, so you're not spending a whole bunch of money or too much money on things that are really not important to what the business is. And then finally, to link your strategic to your operating plan and your financials. And I love what Taylor said about work on your business instead of in your business. I know that took me to a whole nother place, you know, because So many times we can work that business, we can work that business, and then we wonder why we're always tired or, you know, we're not seeing the results that we want to see. So, Taylor, I really thank you for saying that. That was just an eye-opener. I think that's going to be a new little sticky for me on my bulletin board.
Good. Good. Good, good, good. And I thank you so much for summarizing those steps. And I did want to say, because I will be having a course where I'll be teaching these steps in really great depth. And as I was saying, you know, I was giving you the personal side of seeing two steps up. So that was the personal, and that was an emotion that someone may feel. Not saying that everyone has shame, but it was just one of the emotions. There are many: shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, enlightenment. So there are many of those steps. But then also from a business building standpoint, that we have conversations about what we're wanting to create. And there's you know, about seven steps in that. And if we, you know, in some steps, like say step number two, or say step number one is we're listening and we're communicating, we're expressing things, right? But we're pretty much all talk. We're not really doing promises. And then we go two steps up, that's strengthening and building support. So that is like strengthening and building support around our business, around our plan, whatever it is that we're doing. But in the background, we have some fear, we have some scarcity, and, you know, we may think reality is harsh. So we've got to be able to transform those things because we can only see two levels up. So until we deal with that and what needs to happen at those steps, then we can't get to the next step, which is really success, where you expect to experience happiness, where you have a strong relationship to reality, and you're in tune to the past, to the present, and the future. So whatever that is, you're actually predicting your results, and you're tuning up your results based on how the results have come in. So I just wanted to go back and just talk about that just for a second, since you did ask me that specifically. And so they're like different, and I was saying that they're different scales, one from a personal standpoint, one from a business communication standpoint.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And there was another you made that really kind of piqued my interest as well. And you talked about a person being in pain and how that may affect the business. And so that could be like the person that the leader of the business. Or it could be one of the workers or one of the supporters, one of the people that's helping this initiative to be actualized. And so I know that with your NLP and the hypnotherapy would certainly be tools that we could use in order to to help smooth those situations out. Do you find this quite common, though, in businesses? I just thought that was an interesting concept that you gave us.
Do I find it common that a lot of people are in pain?
Right, that they're dealing with the healing of addictions or changing habits and, you know, and they're right in the thrust of their business, but they may be like at a wall, and they can't get past the wall because they haven't dealt with these unresolved issues. So I just wondered how real that was.
Okay, so it is very popular because when we're talking about changing habits and conquering addictions or dealing with addictions, so to speak, we're talking about all kinds of addictions. I mean, they're food addictions, they're addictions to alcohol, they're addictions to, I mean, it doesn't have to be like drug addictions, it could be addictions to food, it could be shopping addictions. I mean, you know, just imagine how your shopping addiction can affect your business if you're supposed to be putting your money back in your business. You're a sole proprietor. You're supposed to be putting your money back in your business, but you have a shopping addiction over here, or you're shopping to cover up to cover up something that's wrong, you know, like maybe you miss a relationship that you had, or maybe you want a relationship, or maybe you feel like you should be making more money, or you're not really doing exactly what you wanted to do because maybe someone encouraged you to go into this area, but you really want to do something like this. So you act out in one way or the other. So, I mean, I've seen plenty of people sneak some bags into the house. I mean, I've snuck some bags into the house myself. So, you know, I mean, let's just say that you know, changing habits, you know, like maybe you, like, you know, when I used to watch TV, I used to love Lifetime. And on a Saturday, I could watch Lifetime for 3 or 4 hours. And before I knew it, the whole day had gone by, right? So that's an addiction. When I actually cut off TV like that, I hyperventilated for a week. For 1 week, I hyperventilated. And I didn't even, I'm serious, I really did. Like, I would, you know, turn on the TV and all this static would come out, and I would forget for a second because I was so used to it. And then, but I saw that my productivity was not as high with me having that, you know, I would just come in before I'd even put bags down, I'd just turn on the TV, right? It was a comforting thing, right? And so I really got an opportunity to see how I was using it as a crutch. So that is a habit that one wants to change, or that can be an addiction. Seaweed. I have loved seaweed, and I really do. I really love it. And then I decided that, you know what? I'm going to conquer this addiction, or I'm going to shift this addiction here, get to the root of why I'm eating this seaweed, what is actually lacking in my diet that has me crave this, and then let me deal with that. So now I do seaweed occasionally. God knows it's not like I was. I mean, I was really, sometimes I'd eat seaweed all day long and just eat seaweed, and I know better, right? I mean, I have a holistic health certification. I know that is not good, right? But even the best of us, you know, or the ones with the best intentions, what I'm trying to say, is, you know, we have things that we do. And so any of those things, like driving yourself really, really, really hard. I used to work 16 to 18 hours a day, religiously. So really being able to shift that, you know, by having some type of relaxation tool, some type of stress management tool, some type of other things, because it was something that drove me that said that I needed to do that in order to feel good about myself, right? So there are all of these things can be countered by hypnotherapy, by NLP, because those things kind of, and the reason why they're so excellent for stress management or for phobias or, you know, for limiting beliefs and decisions is because it returns us to a mode of, you know, of consciousness experienced by children where, you know, where we use our right brain, you know, and there's a strong connection there. So remember, we were impressionable as children. There was nothing that we can accomplish. You know, when I go skiing, I see kids, little kids, they're just, they have no fear. They're just driving down that mountain.
Exactly.
I've been skiing for years, and every time I see a black, I'm like, oh, no. I don't care what it is. I refuse to. I will walk down that mountain before I ski that black. So what I'm saying is
that. No, but I just thought that was a very important aspect that you brought to us, because I don't think I'm going to speak for myself. I don't think that in the various businesses that I've had that I've ever thought of, along those lines about, you know, like how a shopping addiction or being a overworker, overachiever, you know, like how all of that impacts the bottom line. So, no, I was really thankful that you brought that up, because that then gives a whole nother element to the discussion around, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a business owner. So I really appreciated that. So we've got a caller, 404-921. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to the conversation.
This is Abel Mabel Thomas. Sandy, I just want to say thank you for the work that you continue to do. I just was listening in. It sounds good. I have had a professional session with Ms. Taylor, and I just want to follow back up on the fact that she said that that everything is like 100% guaranteed satisfaction. And some way or another, in our transaction, there's a refund that's due back to me. And I was just trying to see whether or not, since you said the guidelines where you can talk about anything, when I would be able to receive that refund back of my $1,000 that I was paid to your organization.
Well, thank you so much for calling. this is a situation where Ms. Thomas wrote a check and her check bounced. And and so the bank has to do the due diligence around her check actually bouncing. Given that I had a meeting with Ms. Thomas and she knew the requirements for payments, and then she gave me a check that was not a good check.
Not sufficient funds.
So that was actually the situation there. And
I just want to make sure that you, the listening audience, knows. Did I pay you $1,000? Did I pay the money in cash? No. I'm just asking, did I pay you $1,000?
And so what happened, Sandy, is that Ms. Thomas came in and I gave her
$1,000
extra time.
Yeah, that's great.
More hours
Ms. Taylor, you were sweet.
And
Ms. Taylor, did you get paid for your services?
And I don't think that this is the forum for that.
I know it's not, but you won't call anybody back. So let me ask you this. Ms. Taylor, with your nice self, did you get paid for your services? Did you ever get paid a thousand? Do I owe you any money?
Right.
Or
so
not? Do I owe you any money? Did you come to my house and I paid you $1,000?
Did you get paid $1,000 in cash?
Did you get paid $1,000 in cash? And now you're trying to she needs to know that she can't go on radio and act like she's so nice and professional, and she took my $1,000 in cash and still won't give me back my check.
Miss Taylor,
I gave you $1,000.
And so now
Miss Taylor, you can't fool these people. I gave you $1,000. In cash. Where is my check that you put in the bank? That's all I want to know. It's okay.
I'm not trying to talk about your service, but I gave you $1,000 in cash once you said the check bounced.
Will you give me back my $1,000?
We're running out of time, and there's another.
I waited to the end. I've been listening to it all the while.
Okay.
I waited to the end. So did I pay you your $1,000 in cash or not? Answer that question, Taylor. Did your professional self, did I pay you $1,000 in cash when you came up to my house acting like a man? No, that's the question.
Mute his ass.
Did I pay you $1,000? Did I pay you $1,000 in cash? Answer the question, Taylor, I don't care what you're saying. Answer the question, Miss Integrity. Did I pay you $1,000 in cash once you said that check cash? Why did you not return my check and put the check in to get another $1,000 out of my bank account? That's the question. No, that's the question. I gave you $1,000 in cash, and you signed a receipt that you received it.
Okay, she's dropped So I know she better draw. Mabel, you guys can work that out. So I'm going to pull up.
How can we?
Invite
how can you work
next
it out?
Caller on.
You can't work it out. She stole the money.
And letting us know that there was that you had an experience with her, but I'm going to go on to this next caller. It's area code 916-862. You want to give me your name, where you're calling from, and whatever questions or comments that you have, please.
Yes. Hello. Good evening, Auntie Sandy. This is Danielle calling. And I've been listening since 6 p.m. Hi, beautiful. And everything was going really smooth until you got somebody on the phone that just threw the whole vibe off. They need to learn to choose and pick their battles when and where. And this was not the battlefield for that situation. So I'm really irritated that the person came on the line and created Ms. Taylor to hang up the phone and not continue this conversation when this had nothing to do with her owing $1,000 or not, because the information that she was issuing out to me was very helpful, because I'm not starting a business, but I needed to know for some self-improvement and to work on things in my own life. And she gave me some very valuable information, Auntie Sandy. And I just want the person that, you know, ran her off the phone to choose your battles. There's a time and a place for everything. And this was not your time or your place. This was my time right now. And you rudely interrupted, and you never stopped talking until Ms. Taylor hung up the phone. So I'm here to let you know that if she's welcome back on the show, if she calls back in, I hope that you don't get a chance to speak, because there were some very important things that I would love to say to this woman. So, Auntie Sandy, with that being said, you know, you can go ahead and click that person back in if you want.
Thank you, Danielle. We've got another caller, area code 940-535. You want to give us your name and your comment, question, please?
Thank you. I'm Eve from Texas, and I want to say I'm
Hey,
and your guest, you and your guest. I'm really, really, truly enjoying the show. This is what I have to say about the show and what I've learned all the way until now. You know what? We need her. We need the information that we're learning, that a choice of business and a choice of knowing how to relate to people and a choice knowing what to do to get ahead and out of ourselves. And for the caller to call in, I say this, the caller just now, I truly understand her, and the caller that was talking of a situation, and this is why we have her as a guest on the show. Thank you, Sandy, because I'm looking at everybody, and I really think your guest is clearing it up. That's a part of business, and I think in enjoying and learning and improving is always going to be an action or reaction. And I say for both of them and all three of them that I've heard, and especially the guests, all honors to the guests and all the beautiful and the great information that she's given all of us. And for the callers and the concern, that is business. That's what she's talking about. I so love her for bringing it out. And I so love her for strengthening me and everybody that called in and all the other listeners. And we're out of time. You can't get to everybody. And I would love to hear her again. I would love to hear her often and again. And what I got from her is what life is all about. It's not going to be super 200 and 500 at all times. Sometimes it'll go down. But she's teaching us how to get up out of there no matter what. And to the person that called in, a lot of good to you and all of us. And that's what we're learning, how to be the best us. And all goodies and greats and the best to your guests and you and all of the callers. That's what I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can you hear me, Sandy?
Yes, I can.
A lot of love. I don't want to lose you. A lot of love to you. And thank you for letting me know that all of us have different thoughts and ways, but we got to conduct ourselves always. I remember the one and the two that we're not all into ourselves. And watch that. There's more extents that you let me know about. And so at all times, I need to keep it together. And you are so of a champion in showing us how to do that. no matter what. Love you and the callers that come in and the callers or whatever they got to say. But all of us, we're learning how to get even more ahead of what you're giving us. Thank you, and you have a great one, and I want to hear more from you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle.
Bye.
Thank you,
Sandy. Bye-bye, Auntie Sandy.
Thank you, baby.
Bye.
Okay. So I've got
Sandy, can you hear me?
I can hear you. So
okay.
I've got all the callers. I've got everyone. We're going to go ahead and finish with you, Taylor, with what you want to wrap the show up with your closing thoughts, contact mm-hmm. information. And so there was a couple of ladies that said they needed to get in contact with you for additional information. So if you would give that to us, that would be great. And then go ahead.
Okay. So my information is Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, at I-L-L-U-M-E-U.com. So they can reach me there, or they can reach me on Facebook at Taylor Teary, or they can reach me at The Taylor Teary on some, but I prefer if they actually send a communication through Facebook or through email, then I can get directly to them.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hope you
so
guys
much.
Got that information. Sure.
Yes, because I will be offering some classes and some things of that nature. So we'll be able to go forward with that. And I'm sorry about the that communication that just came in and how you had to handle that. So thank you so much for being professional in that endeavor. It is unfortunate.
Well,
I took a check.
That made it very difficult, but I understand, you know, that people do have issues in business. And so this was a good place to be able to handle that. But at the same time, it may not have been the right place to bring those issues up. So hopefully, like I said, you guys can get that ironed out and taken care of. So you want to go ahead and summarize the thoughts that you had started on,
sure.
And whatever additional information you want to share. Okay.
Sure. Yes. So, first of all, I think that creating affirmations of love, you know, you're doing everything with love. You see love in everything, even the communication that just happened just now, you know, understanding where people are and where they are not. And you use that as part of your learning and your growth, trusting in divine will, being patient, knowing that everything mm-hmm. happens for your own good. We'll never take a check again. Mm-hmm. If you have fear or worry, refrain from giving power to negative thoughts, flowing in the rhythm of eternal change, understanding that everything happens for your own good, seeing things as they are with the importance that they warrant, and working daily to surrender the aspects of your ego which don't serve you, and giving control of your entire being or spirit to God. So all that is really, really, really important. And, you know, and just knowing that how we choose to handle things is really important. You know, being, you know, knowing that there's suffering in the world and people handle it however they handle it, right? Because there is suffering. And then there's a cause or an origin of suffering. And then there's an end of suffering. And then there's a path out of suffering. So these are called the Four Noble Truths. And they're really important for us to really get how that so perfect. It's called, you know, suffering is called dukkha, and the insight is the acknowledgement that this suffering without making it personal. So without making a situation personal or, you know, turning a situation ugly, just understanding there's suffering in the world and just dealing with that. And so that is really critical and key. And I want everyone to really get that and see how, you know, things come up and how people do things
things and how you do things and how we all do things, so that it's really a learning experience.
Okay, I appreciate that summary that you gave us. And so the additional classes that you're going to provide, you will be posting those on your website, or just communicating with each person individually, or?
It's going to be posted on Facebook. It'll be posted on Facebook, so
okay.
People can send me messages on Facebook, or if they so choose, they can send me an email, and I'm fine with that. And if they send me that email, then I'll be happy to get back with them and communicate
okay.
about it, because going to be some courses coming up really, really soon that that people
okay.
can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we're down to 1 minute, and I am going to thank you for being a part of the show tonight and providing us with really incredible information about mind mastery and business. I took
mm-hmm.
notes all the way through, and that's how I was able to come back and summarize the way that I did. So I've got my little
Good.
Notes, and I just want to thank you again for what you provided to us and the knowledge. And I want to thank all the callers, Abel, Mabel, Danielle, and adding their voices to the show tonight. And so that's it for us for tonight. We will see you next week at the same time, and we promise to provide you with another outstanding show. I love you guys. We'll see you later.
Bye. Bye.